Speaking on this program is Jim Dearman.
The Bible begins with these words, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." There are many people in the world who do not believe that statement. Some say God does not exist, therefore the Bible cannot be His word. Sometimes we're led to believe that all true scientists do not believe in God or the Bible. But this is not correct. True science is not opposed to the Bible. In fact, science, properly applied and understood, proves the Bible to be inspired. The Bible is not a science book. However, whenever it makes a statement relating to a scientific principle or fact, it is completely accurate. Let's notice some examples of the harmony between science and the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Genesis 1:1. This was written by Moses through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about 1500 B.C. Now, in 1820 A.D., a man named Hubert Spencer gave the world five scientific principles by which man may study the unknown. Here they are: time, force, energy, space, and matter. However, Moses, by inspiration, gave us those scientific principles in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, that's time, God, there's force, created, there's energy, the heavens, that's space, and the earth, that's matter. You see, all of Spencer's scientific principles are right there in Genesis 1:1. For many years, man has estimated the number of stars in the heavens, and he has increased the estimate many times. Finally, in the 1900s, man determined that the stars could not be counted. Well, God's book has always told us this fact. Think about Genesis 15:5. Then he, that's God, brought him, that's Abraham in this context, outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Now God was telling Abraham that just as the stars in the heavens cannot be numbered, Abraham's descendants would be more than could be numbered. Well, if man had paid attention to this verse, he would never have tried to count the stars in the first place. Another example of how science and the Bible agree relates to the blood in our bodies. Man now knows that blood is necessary for survival. If our bodies lose too much blood, we will die. However, man did not discover this principle until the 19th century. Before that time, bloodletting was practiced, and many died because draining blood from their bodies drained the very source of life, of course. George Washington, the first president of the United States, is said to have died in this very manner. But Moses, again writing by inspiration, hundreds of years ago told us something man did not know until much later. Here it is, Leviticus 17, verse 11. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." Now, question. How could Moses have known about the life-giving qualities of blood unless God had revealed it to him? In the book of Job, the inspired writer in one verse reveals scientific truth not known to man until much later. Job 26, verse 7. "He stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing." The verse declares that God hangs the earth on nothing. We know this is true. But you see, we have only known it for about 350 years or so. God's inspired writer told us over 3,000 years ago that the earth is held in place by gravitational forces. Then when we come to the Psalms, we find an interesting statement in Psalm 8, verse 8. That passage mentions the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. Now, hear it again, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. The phrase, "the paths of the seas," caused a man named Matthew Fontaine Murray to begin a search which led to the discovery of ocean currents, the natural paths of the seas, created by God. Murray concluded that if God's book said they were there, they must be there. He was right. Now, the Bible is not a geography book. It's not an archaeology book. However, Whenever the Bible makes a statement relating to these sciences, it is completely accurate. Notice the Lord's statement, for example, that is recorded in Luke 10, verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." Now, Jericho is northeast of Jerusalem, and normally we do not speak of going down when we refer to going north. We generally speak of going down south and up north, don't we? Well, why did the Lord say that the man went down from Jerusalem when the direction was a northeasterly direction? It is because Jerusalem is some 2,500 feet above sea level. So you see, when one leaves Jerusalem in Palestine, he goes down to go anywhere in the area. Therefore, our Lord's statement is completely accurate and is recorded accurately by inspiration. No, the Bible is not a geography book, but it is geographically accurate in every instance. Many archaeologists have explored the land of Palestine. Has any one of those scientists ever discovered anything at all which disproves the Bible? The answer is no. Many archaeological discoveries, in fact, have simply confirmed the biblical record, but there has never been a contradiction. No archaeological discovery has ever contradicted anything in the Word of God. This fact ought to be very reassuring to those of us who believe the Bible to be the inspired Word of God. At the same time, it ought to convince the skeptic, the agnostic, the atheist, that this book, the Bible, is God's book. Therefore, not only does God exist, but He has revealed His will to man. And would not that follow logically that if God exists, that He would reveal Himself to man? He does exist, and the evidence for His existence is overwhelming. Therefore, it follows logically that the God who does exist, who created the heavens and the earth, would reveal His will to man, and He has, and the Bible proves itself to be that revelation. Oh, there are many other examples of the harmony between science and the Bible that could be given. However, the ones we have examined are sufficient to show that the Bible is truly God's book. As the Apostle Paul declared, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The Bible is accurate in matters of science. It's also accurate in matters of salvation. When it comes to salvation, the Bible tells us exactly how to be saved. It is clear. The confusion that exists today concerning salvation is man's responsibility, not God's. Man has confused the issue with his man-made creeds and traditions and doctrines. But the Bible clearly tells us that to be saved, we must believe in Jesus Christ. In John 8:24, Jesus said, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Belief is absolutely essential to our salvation. Jesus made it abundantly clear in that statement we've just read, recorded in John 8:24. "Unless you believe that I am He, that is, that I am the Christ, you will die in your sins." But tragically, so many stop right there and affirm that faith only saves. But the same Lord who said, "Believe that I am He or die in your sins," also said this, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Luke 13:3. Therefore, it cannot be faith alone that saves. Repentance is obviously essential to our salvation. Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." But beyond that, Jesus also spoke of confessing Him before men. He said, "Therefore, whoever confesses Me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Those are the words of Jesus recorded in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Yes, you see, it is absolutely essential that we believe, repent, and confess Jesus to be the Christ. Paul wrote in Romans 10, "With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto," that is, in the direction of, "salvation." But is anything else required? Yes. Jesus also declared, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Mark 16, 16. You see, it is only after one expresses his belief in repenting fully from sin, confessing Jesus to be the Christ, and being buried in baptism for the remission of sins, that the Lord himself adds us to the church of the New Testament, the one body of believers. The pattern for the church is revealed clearly in the New Testament. We must be a part of that New Testament church, and the only way to be a part of it is to be added to it by the Lord himself upon our obedience to the gospel by believing, repenting, confessing Christ, and being baptized. You see, in baptism, the blood of Jesus is applied. As we're buried in water, the blood of Jesus is applied to cleanse us from sin. If the Bible is accurate in matters of science, it is accurate in the matter of salvation. Will you respond to the inspired word?